From the KTOO studio, I'm Katie Anastas. A small vacant lot in downtown Juneau is at the center of a dispute between the state of Alaska and the U.S. Department of the Interior. It's the latest development in a years-long effort by the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska to protect traditional lands. Tlingit and Haida President Chelyaish Richard Peterson recently signed a deed to place a small parcel of land into federal trust. It essentially creates Indian country, a small spot where tribal law would apply. The lot is less than 800 square feet, but Peterson says the decision is about more than just the land. It's about tribal sovereignty and self-determination.
These lands were unlawfully and illegally taken. Through the years, we've legally and lawfully tried to get them back and trying to protect them into perpetuity.
The state of Alaska is challenging the decision, saying it undermines key terms of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act by creating a reservation. In a lawsuit filed Tuesday, the state says it, quote, jeopardizes the state's rights to tax and to enforce land use, natural resource management, environmental and public safety regulations on that trust land, unquote. Rules around whether Alaska Native tribes can put land into trust have changed with presidential administrations over the last several years. Under the Obama administration, Alaska Native tribes were allowed to submit applications for the first time since 1980. And in 2017, the Craig Tribal Association became the first Alaska Native tribe to have an application approved. But under the Trump administration, the Interior Department withdrew the revision. Then, under the Biden administration, the department issued a new solicitor's opinion, allowing land to be put into trust for Alaska Native tribes again. Peterson says this decision is in line with the latest opinion.
The Craig application, which I applaud, was the first. It should not be the last application to be approved. And now it's not. Ours is the second.
The Central Council has four other applications pending. If the Interior Department approves them, a total of 3.5 acres owned by the tribe would be put into trust. Peterson says having Indian country in Alaska opens up new federal funding opportunities. Tribal economic development bonds can only be spent on facilities within a reservation. That leaves Alaska Native tribes largely excluded from the program. He says the state has an opportunity to collaborate with tribes and move forward.
The state isn't hurt by our sovereignty, and there's countless states in the union that thrive and prosper right alongside their tribes.
Peterson says the state's lawsuit is setting the relationship between the state and tribes back.
This endangers all applications for future land of trust for all tribes, not just Juneau, not just an urban center, but all of the rural applications.
The Interior Department also has pending applications from the Ninilchik Traditional Council and the Native Village of Fort Yukon. Well, it's been a winter for the record books when it comes to holiday travel. Snow, ice, and scheduling issues have snarled flights, stranding passengers for days or weeks. Alaska has largely been spared from the airline crisis. But here, the problems are on the water. As KRBD's Eric Stone reports, the Alaska Marine Highway System's decision to pull the Matanuska out of service has left some travelers stuck abroad.
Mary Lindahl and her husband Jim love to ski in Smithers, British Columbia.
In total, I figured it out, we've done it over 160 trips. So we've been doing it for about 20 years.
The Ketchikan couple usually spends 2 to 3 weeks at their cabin in Smithers. After all, it's no small feat to get there. It's about 4 hours of driving through northern BC in the middle of the winter, and that's after a 7-hour ferry from Ketchikan to Prince Rupert. But it's always been worth it. All 9 of the Dahls' grandkids learned to ski in Smithers, plus a half dozen of their Ketchikan friends. This year, Mary Lynn says the Dahls planned a longer trip. They'd stay about 2 months since the Marine Highway System wasn't running any ferries in January.
In order to come down for Christmas to meet with our friends and our family who drives up from Seattle, we had to come down the early part of December, and we couldn't leave until February 7th.
Why no ferries in January? The Matanuska, the ferry that runs to Prince Rupert, was in the shipyard getting some work done. During its annual overhaul, crews spotted some concerning issues on the Matanuska. Deputy Transportation Commissioner Catherine Keith said at a recent Marine Highway Operations Board meeting that one problem is crumbling asbestos.
There has been always asbestos on board these aging vessels, and we know it's there. However, when asbestos becomes exposed or is friable, meaning it's in like in dust, that it is in the air, basically, then it becomes a health risk.
That stopped work immediately. The state, of course, doesn't want welders and pipe fitters breathing in cancer-causing dust. But crumbling asbestos wasn't the worst of what they found.
And in addition to that, during the overhaul, there was more discovered steel, which is going to increase the cost of this overhaul significantly and the amount of time that the vessel would be in overhaul.
Keith says repairs to the corroded steel will dramatically increase the cost of the overhaul. And she says the ferry service isn't sure what to do with the 60-year-old ship.
We would like to pause on our decisions for capital investments in this project to see what really is the wisest choice right now. This steel work, it could increase the cost of this overhaul up to $8 or $10 million, and we're still trying to quantify that exactly.
That brings up a whole host of issues. The Matanuska has been the primary vessel serving the so-called mainline route through southeast Alaska. Its sister ships, the Taku and Malaspina, are both out of service. One was cut up for scrap, the other sold off as a floating museum. But for a more immediate concern...
ultimately, what these developments mean is that the Matanuska will not be able to be on our summer schedule.
Or the February schedule. The ferry service isn't totally out of options. Keith says the flagship ferry Columbia is coming off the bench to fill in.
The Columbia will now be on our schedule and sailing as soon as February 13th.
That's just a week after the Dolls were originally scheduled to sail home. No problem. They're retired. Anyone who's traveled in Alaska or northern Canada during the winter knows it's a good idea to plan for a bit of a cushion in case of delays. But the Columbia won't be going to Prince Rupert. It's not certified for international travel. And even if it was, it's too big to tie up at the Prince Rupert terminal. The other ship with the necessary certification to sail the Prince Rupert, the Kennecott, is scheduled to hit the shipyard in February for maintenance. So, a few days ago, Dahl says she got some bad news.
The ferry service called us and said that our ferry home from Prince Rupert to Ketchikan has been canceled, period. And there's no plan to replace it. We said, what? What are we supposed to do? We're down here and we have a ticket to come home.
Sure, they could fly home, but it's awfully hard to fly with a car full of ski stuff and two dogs. Airlines don't exactly take cars as checked baggage.
And they said, well, you know, there is no option. Unless you drive down to Bellingham. And I was a little shocked, to be honest with you.
Bellingham, Washington is the southernmost port on the Marine Highway System. It's also a 13-hour drive from Smithers in the summer.
So we are going to drive 700 miles to Bellingham from here in Smithers, where we're now. And then we have to get on the ferry a week later and go another 750 miles the other direction to get back to Ketchikan, which is kind of crazy.
Carabini tried to ask the Department of Transportation how many people were affected by the Prince Rupert cancellations. We wanted to know whether there were plans to send another boat to pick up people stuck in Canada, whether a state ferry or a private vessel. We asked if there were plans to help people with the cost of driving to Bellingham, but DOT didn't return interview requests or provide a written statement. So Mary Lynn and her husband are on their own.
It's really irritating. I know that these boats are old and I know they need maintenance, but that should be expected and planned. And because you've sold the tickets already, unless the boat is imminently going to sink, I think you should pick those people up and bring them home and then, you know, not proceed to keep running the boat. And plan a little bit better.
And she has some ideas. She says she'd like to see the ferry system upgrade more ships to handle the Prince Rupert route. And she says the Alaska legislature should find a way to insulate the Marine Highways budget from shifting political winds. But for now, she's planning for a long, cold drive south. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
And now for a look at local weather here in Juneau. It's currently 44 degrees at the Juneau International Airport. Showers are expected tonight with a low around 41 degrees. east wind 15 to 25 miles per hour, and between a quarter and a half an inch of precipitation could accumulate. Tomorrow, rain is likely before 4 p.m., followed by rain and snow, with a high near 41 degrees. East wind 10 to 15 miles per hour, and little or no snow accumulation is expected. Saturday night, rain and snow before 4 a.m., then a chance of snow, and a low around 35.